Blog Talk Radio.
What unknown realities exist beyond the boundaries of our awareness? What is the true potential of human consciousness? Do we have dormant abilities that are natural to us? And, if developed, would lead us to experience life in a very different way? Here begins the journey of expanding realities. I'm your host, Laurie Cardi. And welcome to another edition of Expanding Realities. I'm your host, Laurie Cardi, and tonight, besides our wonderful guest, Sherry Wild, we have a very special friend of mine acting as co-host, and that would be Frank Chile. So welcome, everyone, and hello, Sherry, and hello, Frank. I hope everyone is in good health this evening.
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I am. Thank you, Laurie.
We're all doing really good. I hope that we don't talk over each other. We should have figured out some kind of secret way, like knock three times on the pipes or on the ceiling if you want me. Remember that old song?
Yes, I do.
So, Sherry, let me just read your bio. The alien abduction subject is an intriguing topic filled with lots of speculation and conjecture. Much of the analysis is being done... of course, I'm reading it wrong already. Much of the analysis is being done by those who have never had a contact experience themselves and can only form opinions based on what they hear and observe from the actual participant. Sherry has had overwhelming amount of physical contact with the beings from an alternative reality and has worked her way through layers of disbelief, fear, confusion, and ridicule. She found support and answers in places that she never expected, and through that process began to remember the truth of who she is. In this lecture, she shares highlights and intimate details of that journey and talks about the differences between being an abductee and a volunteer, which is a very interesting analogy right there. We'll get to that. So Sherry was born and raised in southwestern Wisconsin and continues to spend the majority of her time there. She operated a successful real estate business specializing in sales, land development, and commercial renovations until the recession hit. Still somewhat active in real estate, she prefers to spend her time traveling and lecturing about her contact experiences in an effort to shed new light on the subject. Sherry's book entitled The Forgotten Promise is a very well-written and interesting read. Her website is www.theforgottenpromise.net. So that's it. That's where we're starting. I think we have a pretty good basis to start out with.
Yeah, thank you for reading that.
You're welcome. So, Frank, how are we going to do this?
Well, Sherry, would you like to give a synopsis of your work up to date and what plans you've had since the book has come out? I understand it's very, very well received.
The book is doing well. For, you know, that genre is a tough field to get published and to get any sales in, but it's doing well. It's been optioned and is being made into a movie. That's a slow process, people. Yeah, it happened 3 months after the book came out, and it's all in divine order. The whole thing about this book is still kind of shocking to me because I was a realtor. I was a businesswoman. I was not at all going to share my story of alien abductions. It was my dirty little secret, and I wasn't going to let the world know about it. And to have the book come out of me, and that's how it happened, have it just show up, and then once it showed up on in print, I was going to just keep it and hide it away, and perhaps, you know, my great grandchildren could read it someday when they had open contact with the ETs, and see what it was like. But that was not to be. The book was born and was meant to be made public, and so my life has been a very strange life. And so the book took on a life of its own and ended up being optioned, and it will be made into a movie eventually. And I think that the purpose of the book, from what I understand, is that when people read it, it triggers in them sort of an awakening or a remembrance of who they are. And
yes.
even if you haven't had ET contact, it seems to touch something within you that triggers an awareness that there's more going on than, you know, than what we realize. The world that we're living in keeps us fairly well hypnotized and keeps us pretty well programmed and on track as to what it is that we are wanting us to know and to how they want us to live our lives, and keeps us in a state of unconsciousness, kind of in a stupor. So that time is coming to an end, and it's time for humanity as a whole on planet Earth to kind of wake up and stretch and come out of the dream and really actually step into the truth of who they are. So the book is playing its own little part in making that happen.
I think the title of your book, The Forgotten Promise, is so apropos because it's like a trigger to all of us. Each of us came here with a specific purpose and mission, and a lot of us got caught up in the games down here in the illusion and forgot the purpose of why we're supposed to be here. And I think the title of your book is just, it's like a nudge to the soul.
You know, that's interesting, the title. I love the title, and maybe that people will think that's I shouldn't say that, but the title as it was given to me when my guys dictated the book or channeled it through me, whatever word you would use, it was originally called The Three Important Things to Know, because the focus of the book is meant to be on the spiritual side of the encounters. But as you read the book, you'll see toward the end, the book came out of me as I was living my life and remembering this. And so I, every day, would sit down and not know what was going to show up. And I would read what I had written that day. And I would just kind of marvel at it because it was all just coming to the front. And at the end, when the book was done and it came time, Dolores Cannon was going to publish it. And I was estranged from my children, and I had been going through some pretty tough times with all these losses in my life, and so I did not want the book to be published. My youngest daughter had told me she would never speak to me again, and we had just reconciled after her not talking to me for a year. And my oldest, you know, she opted out of my life some years before that, and I just couldn't bear the thought of losing my youngest daughter too. So I said, I'm not going to let the book be published. Dolores will understand. You know, I don't care what it takes. I'm going to not let this book be published. I'm not going to do it. And I told my best friend, I said, I'm going to sleep on it tonight, but that's pretty much my decision. And I went to bed that night and going to sleep on it, deciding to call Dolores the next morning unless I felt differently. And that night is when my guy, Da, I call him D.A. Da, guy that I have the most contact with, he came in, and that's what he said to me. He said, Sherry, have you forgotten the promise you made? And I just looked at him and I started to cry and I said, it's too much, you know. And he said, you took a vow. And he just reminded me of what was really important. And he talked about the greater good. And, you know, there was a lot of compassion and love there. And then he showed me how it was, even for the greater good for my children, my daughter, to see me stand up for and do what I came here to do rather than acquiesce to her demands. And her demands were coming from a place of fear, and I understood all that. And so he helped me to see it for what it was. But the title of the book, there it came from that
right.
experience.
And it was another test of life, another test in life.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You know, I have a quick question. As I was reading your book, and I apologize, I did not get to the end of it, although I have to say I love your book so far. It's just very captivating. But all through, like, you go back through different memories of abduction experiences, and through the accounting of those different experiences, your husband had his own experiences, your children had their own experiences, and they even told you, what was it in the one part of the book, they even, you overheard somebody saying that they had been, the Men in Black part, where they were talking about that they've been studying your family for years. You know, I just want you to talk a little bit about that stuff, you know, like, because it seems to me like they, I'm confused about your daughters because it's not like they didn't know.
I know that definitely they knew. My daughter was a participant in the program. So the way that I consider myself to be is a volunteer. And as you read through the book, Laurie, you'll see toward the end I lay that out because I moved through the fear. And this is an analogy for life in general on planet Earth, too. The fear distorts our perception. It totally blinds us to the truth of what's going on. Anything that you see in this world or that you look at with fear is going to distort it. And so you're not going to get a clear picture of what's really happening. So I moved through the fear of the abductions and came to the point where I understood that what was really going on was not that I was a victim, but that I was a participant in a program. And that's where the thing with the generations of study come in that the black men in black talked about. They were right. They are not positive beings, but they were right that my family had been involved in this for many generations. And we participated in this and agreed to this. So my daughters were aware of their involvement. Now, my youngest daughter is not in the program. She never was in the program. She's had experiences where she's seen the guys, she's seen the lights, she's seen the ships. You know, she's been involved in that regard. But my oldest daughter was an actual participant. She's the one but she's opted out. She's the one who's not talking to me. And I didn't know you could opt out of the program. I was not allowed to opt out when I tried to, but I was basing that decision in fear. But the last time I talked to Da about my daughter, he did say that she had opted out of the program and was no longer participating. So I'm not sure. But it's, it's a fear thing. She knew that things were happening to her and lost time and all the confusion that goes with that. It's a big, to say that it's an inconvenience in your life, I mean, that really is putting it mildly. I mean, it's just traumatizing. Until you understand and get to a place where you can move beyond the fear, it's a really horrific thing to deal with. And when it happens to generation after generation, so it continues to happen to your children, it's hard. You have to come to some kind of terms with this or it'll just make you crazy.
So do you think there's a lot of families that are participating in this program and yet we don't know it?
I do, because I think that there's millions of us here that came as volunteers. Dolores Cannon talks about the three waves of volunteers and the shift for humanity is happening. Planet Earth Gaia decided to take advantage of this alignment that's happening, the great alignment now where the frequency is going up and she is moving into the fifth dimension. And it was time for humanity. You know, it's like our last chance to do the same thing. So the harmonic convergence in 1987 is right when I started to wake up to my experiences, and that's no accident that it happened then. So this is all planned before I came here. So there are millions of us, and we started coming in the 1950s, and the first wave, and then the 70s, and then the 90s, in the stronger waves coming in to try to raise the frequency of the planet by coming in from higher dimensions ourselves and doing the work that we, as we awaken to it. I feel blessed and lucky that I was one of the participants who has remembered my role. You know, I remembered that I came here for a reason. It's not easy to awaken. And so there are millions who are here who are having these experiences who are either not aware that they're having experiences or if they're having them, they're still in fear about it. They still believe they're being abducted and that they're a victim. And so, that's why I speak about it, so that I can try to trigger in them our remembrance, and that's what the book is supposed to be doing for those people. So, yeah.
Very well stated.
There's lots and lots of us. Yeah.
So I'm curious, what exactly is this program that you and your daughter were participating in originally, and was your husband also part of that because he had the black and blue marks on his arms from being carried? And
The way that it is, for myself, I have memories now through the awakening process, as many of us are awakening, and what we mean by that is raising our vibration, our frequency is going up to higher levels. So we're expanding our consciousness and our awareness. And as I have gone through that, I remember who I was before I came here. I remember who I am. And so there's this opening that occurs. And so I remember, you know, I remember volunteering to come here and participate in this program. And I volunteered to be one who participated in the hybrid program. This is a hybrid program. There's lots of those programs going on. Some are malevolent and some are benevolent. Ours is with the guys that I work with, is, of course, the benevolent program, where we had the highest and best interests of the humans on planet Earth, you know, at heart. Mm-hmm. Because the way that it was when I volunteered to come in, and I volunteered in 1947, which the linear year of 47, I didn't show up on Earth until late 1950, but when I volunteered, and actually even at the time that I came in to form on planet Earth, humanity was not going to be able to ascend with Gaia. The timeline that she was on at that time, or humanity was on, showed that they were not going to be able to get their frequency to the level needed to stay in resonance with the Earth. And so they were going to be lost, as they had been lost many times before, Atlantis and Lemuria and times mm-hmm. before that. So
sure.
It's been attempted, you know, there have been many attempts to awaken humanity since the fall. Humanity was not, on Earth, was not created to live the way that we are living here. This is a result of our own fear overtaking us and falling from the high level of frequency that we were actually introduced onto the planet to live. So, there's been several attempts to awaken humanity and to get them to remember, so that they could go back home. But the thing is that we didn't want to lose the biological entity of the Earth human. So we came up with the hybrid program. And that program is where they, you know, you donate your egg and the sperm samples so that they can continue to create the human species. And so that's what I have. I have children who are, they're hybrid, in that the DNA is mixed with, you know, some ET races, but most of my children are human, which is at truth, the Earth human, you know, we came from the stars. We have DNA from many different races already here, so there's really no such thing as a pure human, you know, species, but that's what we were trying to do, and that's what we have done. And so we have these humans, and they have lots and lots of the ovum stored in case there is something that goes awry, and we want to keep the human species, the biological entity of the human species, alive. So that's the program I participated in and originally signed up for, but then I renewed my contract with them. I was supposed to leave, and that part's not in the book, but it's going to be in the movie. I renewed my contract in the 1990s to stay and write the book. I was supposed to, my work was done at that time, and I was supposed to leave, but I didn't want to leave my children, so I stayed. And I had to argue really hard for that. But I was allowed, I got to stay. And so in exchange for that, I continued on with the work of awakening humanity, helping to assist in awakening humanity.
You know what, you mentioned the fall, and you said that the fear that humans being have, that's, we did this to ourselves. I'm not exactly sure. I was raised with no religion at all as a child, so I'm not really sure what the fall is.
Okay.
But I would love you to share a little bit about that, because my confusion is that you're saying that now we need to blend our DNA with hybrid DNA so that we can, what, adapt and live on the planet? Because human beings, really, I don't see them having any problem procreating on their own. Like,
no,
I don't understand why we,
yeah,
why do we need?
Well, I didn't say that. I said that we do that. You know, the hybrid program does have some of the aspects of that in it, that the that the ET DNA is mixed in with the human DNA, and there's enhancements that take place. You know, my body was enhanced and to contain the energy that I am that came in, and my daughter's body was tweaked with, and they enhanced certain aspects to hold the energy that she is. She came in from a very high frequency. So
you mean higher vibrational energy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So they do that. But as far as the human, I mean, the human species, you can see that there are several different planets or different races of beings who are represented on planet Earth. I mean, we were seeded here from different star systems, different places. And so we were allowed to grow much like a garden. You know, we just kind of took root and grew here, and we've evolved as we were meant to evolve. But I don't know that there's any need for us to actually have the ETs controlling or manipulating our DNA in order for us to survive. That's not what I was intending to say. We were trying to just have the biological entities of the human species, let's say in storage or living on other planets or on ships, because if the frequency of the humans on planet Earth does not stay and resonate with the frequency of Gaia as she moves into the fifth dimension, which the Schumann residency is what, 7.8 or 8.7, which one is it? It's something like that. And I think we're up to around 11 right now. Mm-hmm. And you can tell the frequency of the planet is escalating, and that's what's causing a lot of this discord. And those who don't resonate with that, I mean, for those who do resonate with it, let's start with that, it feels like a lot of love. And it feels wonderful. But it brings to the surface, it brings a lot of anything that's not in resonating with that frequency. And the higher you go, the more you're moving toward the love frequency. So anything that's not resonating of love, if there's fear there, then that's going to cause disharmony. That's going to be like a block, and it's going to have to come to the surface to be cleared away. So it gets, I call it static. You know, it feels like static, and I can pick up on it in somebody's energy field. You can see or feel that they are having static. There's pain, and they will respond through their emotional body or their mental body with anger and fear and resentment and attack and all kinds of things. So
completely reactive.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's kind of like the more clear your energy is, the better it feels as you go up into the higher frequencies. But if your bodies are not cleared, if your frequency is not clear, because that's what we are, is energy. We're not really bodies. So as your energy increases, or the energy around you increases and you're out of harmony with it, it's going to be very painful. So the frequencies on the planet are going to go up exponentially in the next couple of months, I think, even.
Yes.
We're coming toward the end of this trip, and so it's going to be challenging, very challenging. And there's going to have to be a split that occurs. So it's just going to have to those who are not ready to go into the fifth dimension, that's okay. My guys have told me over and over again not to judge that, to just allow.
Yeah, it's their choice.
Allow them. Yeah, allow them to have their experience. Mm-hmm. So,
how far along in the shift do you think that we are? Like, do you think how are we going to know when we've actually reached the tipping point and we're starting to go on to the other? Because I'm assuming that it's over time. It's happening over time.
Well, it is. Isn't it interesting that the whole thing about the shift to the ascension? I mean, we're an evolving species, so it's always going on. But right now, there is this great alignment that's taking place. And I mean, it's interesting to talk about, because in truth, time, space don't exist, but they do in the third and fourth dimension. So we talk about it, but it gets very confusing, because at the core of it, we all know and understand that it's just part of the illusion. So part of the process of moving beyond the third and fourth dimension is to move beyond time, space. So it feels like time is collapsing. And I guess that's probably the best way to put it into words, is that time is collapsing. It seems like we're running short of time. We feel like there's a lot of pressure on us, that there's not enough time in the day to get things done. At least that's how I'm experiencing it. As we move out of time. So as far as where are we on the path of this, I understand that this alignment is happening now, and it's available to us for a few more years, the opportunity to take this great leap forward in evolution. To go from the third dimension to a fifth dimension is I think it's got to be quite a rare thing to occur. And I don't know. I think that we're almost there, but we're not through the worst of it yet.
Is there any way to help the process along? Like, is there any way to make sure that I go with the Earth?
Yeah.
Let's just get greedy here.
Well, it's about your resonance, you know, about your frequency. So you want to be living through your heart. You want to definitely have been proactive and awakening and remembering the truth of who you are. So the way that I would put it, so here's how I would put it. This is how I teach my Course in Miracles class. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. You have a choice on how you're going to live your life when you go out there into the illusion, because it is an illusion. We come together every week in my Course in Miracles class to remember the truth of who we are and to fortify ourselves and to remind ourselves and remember for each other, you know, that we are divine children of the Creator and that we're not really these separate bodies, that we are a part of one. Oneness. So, but when you go back out into the illusion, you get sucked back in. So the trick is to try to live on what I call the third floor. So I look at it like you live in an apartment building. It's got three stories. The first floor is the third dimension. The second story is the fourth dimension. And the third story would be the fifth dimension where you want to go. So you have a choice. There's an elevator there. And, you know, right now, all of that is available to us. You can live on whichever floor you want. It's your choice, and you make that choice every day, second by second, with every decision that you make as to what your thoughts are and what words you are and how you respond. And are you responding with love or are you responding with fear? Are you getting angry or are you forgiving? Forgiving being not judging, but just allowing everyone to have their own experience and to be who they are without judgment. So it's a choice that you make, and it's living consciously. And it takes effort, and you have to be vigilant with yourself, and you have to be vigilant for God. You have to want this more than anything. You have to want this more than you want to live in the nice house on the hill. You have to want it more than you want to have that good job, more than you want to have a relationship with someone who maybe looks great next to you but doesn't treat you so well. I mean, you have to be true to who you are and what it is that you really came here to express.
It's a discipline.
Yeah,
it's a discipline.
It's more than just knowing about it. You know, I know that there are a lot of people who know that the shift is happening and they can talk about it with a lot of you know, understanding and have explanations about things, but it's living it. You have to live it and practice
it. That's
right, yeah. Because, if you're not doing that, then it's not enough to just know that it's happening. And it's something that a person should have been working on, you know, for some time now, but if they haven't, it doesn't really, that's fine. You can do this. You can awaken in the blink of an eye, and you can just make the decision to go there and to just be who you are intended to be. So there's time. I don't know. We don't know how it's going to play out as far as there's different thought systems that everyone will get there. I go by what my guys tell me because that's what I trust, and they've never lied to me yet. And they told me that
all
women...
And we're being extended a lot of help. We're being extended a lot of help, Sherry.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Lots of help, and we're being protected to some extent. Now, we're also, you know, there's a lot of negativity, a lot of things that are being done to the planet, which are very sad, and it's damaging, you know, damaging to us and to Gaia. But we have to remember that any of those distortions are part of the illusion. Just like, you know, I just came out, well, I'm not done with it, but I'm dealing with, you know, heavy metal poisoning, and it really, you know, knocked me down. But it helps a lot to remember that that's part of the illusion. You know, it doesn't exist. And you get to a place where your frequency is high enough, it falls away.
That's interesting.
Sure.
You have heavy metal poisoning?
I do. Yes.
How did you get that?
Well, there's one of those things that I could tell you the story based on the first floor, second floor or the third floor. From the third floor, from the fifth floor, I look at it and I go, wow, that was an experience I apparently wanted to have. It's like an initiation, and I wanted to experience that before I leave this world of duality. So I put that into on my path and had that experience. If I look at it from the fourth dimension, I'm going to analyze it a little bit and try to figure out where in my karma I attracted that. If I look at it from the third dimension, from the first floor, I'm going to say I'm a victim. That I got
right.
I was under attack and they got me, you know. And so it depends on which floor I'm living in, and I prefer to live on that top floor where I go, wow.
Well, the reason I ask is because earlier you mentioned that there's negative and positive entities, and I was just, wondering, well, what do the negative ones actually want? Is it just about control and power and kind of feeding off of our energy, or, I mean, do they want to change the pH of the planet with chemtrail spraying? And I mean, I'm not sure. There's so much stuff. Oh, my God. I don't even know where
to begin. They
want to
keep the game going. That's what they want. They want the game to continue to go on.
Yeah, they do. They're trying to stop the awakening process, and they've been successful in the past with that. They have been able to usurp that, and so they're trying very hard again to do that. And I tell you, I mean, your soul has a choice, and you make that decision with your oversoul, your higher self, and that should be a choice that's made, freely. But there are influences taking place, and if you're not in awareness, if you're not conscious that you are in a dream, that you are in an illusion, if that's the first thing that you can't get past, if you're still buying into, the dogma of separation, then it's going to take some time probably. You're going to need more time to experience the world of duality and have some of those contrasts, which we all came here to have. We came onto this planet for the most part knowing that we were entering into a world that was a world of contrast and of good and evil and up and down and opposites. So we came here knowingly for the most part. So we came to experience that. So that's fine. But the game got kind of run amok, and
we got caught up in the
game. Trapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got caught up in the game. We got tricked, but we also got tricked. Yeah, this is just my one time here, so I don't know this, but I know that when you leave your body, you have these short little lives here on this planet, and you leave your body, you immediately get met and get told that, you didn't do so good. Let's look at your life. And, you didn't learn this lesson, and you need to go back, or they need you back there. All kinds of excuses for you to have to come back. And, no one told you that wasn't true, that you don't have to come back and you don't have to pay for anything or do any of that. That's all just part of the experience of living on planet Earth. But the souls on planet Earth got tricked into believing that they weren't good enough, and they've been kept very little and made to feel small and guilty and believe that they are sinful and that they need to earn their way back into their Creator's good graces, which is not true at all.
But who's been doing that, and what purpose did it serve?
It served to continue the world of duality, the game. So there are those who agreed to play the dark part, the dark forces in a world of duality, but it kind of got carried away. It's a game. If you look at it for the truth of what it is, it's a game, but it's one that can cause your soul to be trapped for tens of thousands, if not millions of years. And even though time doesn't exist in truth, it's still a delay that causes you to just be sidetracked and not be moving on and experiencing other worlds and experiencing all that you could be experiencing.
Yeah.
Realizing that we're God beings.
Right. Truth is, we are God. Yeah.
Well, what's really interesting? I had an out-of-body experience one time, and it was completely spontaneous. It was not something I had planned. In fact, I didn't even know what was happening as it was happening. But it wasn't that long after I was hovering above my body looking down at it when I realized that I was out of my body and I was flying around. And it was absolutely the most amazing thing ever. And that's when I knew that there was no such thing as death. I mean, I knew that there was no such thing as death. And I did feel a being there. I don't know. I didn't see anything. It just kind of felt like a magnetic kind of energy behind my shoulder blades. It was very, that's the only way that I could explain it. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. Well, I did hear it said, look at your hands. And when I looked at my hands, when I was floating above my body, they were sparkling light like the sun reflecting on the surface of the ocean, how it makes that twinkly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I looked like that down to about my waist, and then from the waist down, I was formless. I had no form. Mm-hmm. So I knew from that experience that this was not who I was, and also that I'm not from here, that I wasn't actually a human, because I knew that in that moment. I mean, that was in my 20s, so we're talking... Well, you know, a few minutes ago. Okay, about 30 years ago. But, you know, talking about timelines and time, in your book you talk about the first time that, well, maybe it, when it wasn't even the first time. There were so many amazing experiences that you depict in your book. But you were talking about the time when I think it was the first time that you remember being up in the ship, and Dash showed you the tsunami coming. Are we in a different timeline now, or is that the same timeline that we're in still, or what was that about?
Yeah, that was that would have been about 1959 or so, 1959, I think, that happened. And I opened the book with that story because it was such a profound experience, and it kind of tells in a nutshell why we came here, the volunteers came here. A lot of us who came as volunteers had the experience as children of being shown the earth, you know, being destroyed. And that was to try to awaken us and keep us, try to get us to remember our purpose. It goes against the universal law to pick us up and tell us, just lay it all out and say, okay, here's the deal. You came here on the planet Earth, and this is your mission, and this is what you're doing. So they, you know, before I came here, I told Da to stay very connected with me and don't leave me fall behind the veil. Don't let me fall into the trap of
being
stuck on planet Earth. And so that's why a lot of my experiences occurred during the day while I was very conscious. They've been very sweet about allowing me to remember certain things. In the book, I have experiences. I'm going to answer your question, by the way. But in the book, I've had people say, well, I don't think they seem very nice because they dropped you in the pig pen and they let you out there in just a T-shirt and the freezing cold. And I agreed with that at first. And finally, I thought, I got to ask, you know, because people kept saying they can't be very loving because they just treated you so bad. And I said to them once, finally, I said, why did you do that? Why did you drop me in the pig pen like that in the middle of the night? You know, that's very disrespectful, you know. And he's kind of like a big older brother who teases you. You know, I mean, he's got this wicked sense of humor, but the love is just so profound. And he said, Sherry, you're just about the worst one that we have as far as talking yourself out of these experiences. You know, we can be there with you and have a very conscious decision, and we leave and you fall asleep, and the next morning you wake up and you go, oh, that was a pretty cool dream.
Mm-hmm.
You just won't remember. So we needed to stamp these, imprint you, he said. He called them imprints. We needed to imprint your consciousness with these situations that just really affected you, that you couldn't dream them away. You couldn't talk yourself out of them.
So they stayed with you.
They stayed with me, and they said, we wanted you to have those for the you know, so that you would know that this was true, that this really did happen to you. And so, yeah, that's what they did. And it's like the night that he came and told me, Sherry, have you forgotten your promise? He made a minor spectacle of himself. You know, my dog went crazy. The lights all flashed. The doorbell buzzed. You know, there's a big crack of noise, you know. And so, you know, there was no doubt. And, you know, other times he, you know, splashed his face on my ceiling. And when there was someone there with me, and wouldn't take it off until I was almost hysterical. And, you know, he just, you know, he does things like that. But you know,
sounds like a joker.
He is a joker. You know, After I became toxic with the heavy metal poisoning, I lost my connection to my higher self and to my guys, to my angels, all that. Just, you know, I really fell into a deep, dark hole for a while. And you lose that connection because your whole system is just, my brain was foggy. Everything is just quite a bad attack. And finally I'm back online with him again. And the other day I was talking to him. I was just kind of rattling on. I was so happy to be back in communion with him. And I said something about, I just said, you know, there's supposed to be these different waves of people going through on the ascension. And I said, I better be in the first wave. I said, because I'm kind of pretty tired of being here. And I said, I think I deserve to be in the first wave. And I was just kind of chattering on like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really expect an answer. And I heard him say, no, Sherry, you're not in the first wave. And I stopped. I just froze. And I said, oh, I'm not in the first wave. Oh, okay, I'm going to stay for a while longer. I'm probably the second wave. And he said, no, not the second wave. And I said, oh, okay, I'm staying through to see it through. Okay, I'll do that.
And what does that mean to see it through? What's the third wave? I'm getting nervous here.
No, let me finish. So then I said, okay, whatever. And he goes, well, actually, Sherry, you volunteered to how do you say it? Go down with the ship. And then they gave me this image of the earth was like a smoldering, you know, black charred thing. I mean, it looked like just something.
Amber, great.
Yeah, it looked like a horrible. And there were like six people standing there, and I was one of them. You know, we were all like, all, you know, just haggard, and you know, I mean, it was just looked like one of those Smokey the Bear
mm-hmm.
commercials where he would be standing, you know, with all these smoking embers around him. You know? So I looked at that, and I was like, just ready to go. What? And then there was this, you know, this laughter, and I knew that they were pulling my leg again. Yeah, so they're like, they're very joyful, but sometimes it's at my expense. And if you read the book, you'll see there are a few times when they did that to me.
So the tsunami, which wave is that?
Okay, that was...
Besides the literal wave.
Okay, that was the tsunami was going to happen. That was our true timeline at that time. But, you know, our timeline has changed since then. That's my understanding. There's many now, if not all, who are going to move into the fifth dimension. I don't think it's going to be all at this time. All will eventually. But at this time, there's going to be different waves moving through into the higher frequencies, I think starting, you know, before too long, I think. And as the planet goes higher and higher into that frequency, then those who resonate with it will start to have those experiences of a fifth-dimensional world.
I wonder what that's going to look like, though, because I'm sure the weird world isn't just going to disappear. And
I got to visit the fifth dimension. I was allowed. I asked, and I was given. I find that if I ask things, I forget to ask. But when I ask,
can you ask them if you guys can pick me up around 12 midnight? I'll be ready.
They're not going to do it that way.
Darn.
As a matter of fact, my guys aren't even coming in. They said it's too dangerous right now for them to come in.
Oh.
It's the frequencies, and then they showed me, like, different plates, like, that they were shifting and moving. We're bouncing between third, fourth, and fifth. We're all at different frequencies. That's why what shows up on planet Earth for us is going to be based on what the collective agrees to, is my understanding. It's whatever we decide to create, because we create by our thoughts and by the energy we put out will attract to us what our experience will be. So your experience will be whatever it is that you resonate with. There's all these multiple timelines that you can choose from, and there is a timeline where the tsunami comes in, I suppose, if you wanted to stay in that lower frequency. But the higher your frequency, the more joyful the experience will be. Just like we were just talking, that the energy coming right in right now is beautiful, loving, uplifting energy, but it can also feel very oppressive and chaotic and confusing, you know, if you're not
to those that
resist
it. Those that resist it.
Yeah. So our experience is yet to be known, you know, as we will create it as we.
Well,
as
so
we
how did you experience the fifth dimension then? What did it look like?
They let me go there and experience it. It's already been a couple of years ago that I did that, and it was planet Earth, but it was like, when you were talking about your out-of-body experience,
mm-hmm.
And you were all shimmery and sparkly, that's I was in a grove of a clearing in out in nature, and I could hear people, humans, and someone was with me because I asked, are there humans there here? And they said, oh yes, some have already come here, and I could hear them off talking, and there was joyful talk. There, everything shimmered and sparkled, and it was like it had glitter on it, and it was alive to such an extent. It was for instance, it was a tree, but it was a gazillion shades of green with sparkles and life. It was so alive that you could see the life sparkling with it. And there was music, but it wasn't like elevator music, which was really annoying. It was music like you wanted to listen to it forever and never be without it again. There was like music in the just around you. I think that's what I would call it, as music. I don't know what else to call it. There was a sound vibration that was just extremely pleasing. And yeah, there was just
it's called the music of the spheres.
Of oneness. Is that what that is?
It's called the music
beautiful.
Of the spheres. Yes.
Yeah. And it just, so it was an amazing place to be. You were very aware of your oneness with all that is, and you were aware that you were endless and that you were just part of everything. And it was just a beautiful place to be. And that's just the fifth dimension. I remember the sixth dimension, which is where I came from. And I thought that this experience of being in the new Earth, fifth dimension, was better than the sixth dimension where I came from.
Really? And what was the sixth dimension like?
Well, that was more of what I remember of it, it was more of a just being in oneness and being, it wasn't like, I was like I don't remember it being as a world so much as it's just a place of light, whereas the fifth dimensional new Earth was still Earth, which I love, that's why I came here.
Mm-hmm.
I love her, you know, with the sky and the trees and the colors and the nature and all that. And that's the other thing, the nature divas and all that, that energy was all there and you could pick up on it. But, yeah, so I'm going to hang out in fifth dimensional new Earth, I think, for a long time.
Well, yeah, there's a million and one sensory experiences here on this planet. That's for sure.
There are. Yeah, it's wonderful. And so it's going to be great. You know, and those who are not ready, you know, are not resonating with that and their soul has decided that it's not, you know, time for them, that they wanted to have more experience of a third or fourth dimensional world, you know, that's fine. That they'll go to a place that resonates with them and have more of those experiences until their soul determines that, you know, it's ready to awaken more fully. And so they'll have their own experience of going into the fifth dimension.
Now, you also mentioned that, and I'm pretty sure that this is what you said, the Course in Miracles, you believed it saved your life?
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yes, I say that, yes.
And I was very curious because I have to tell you the same thing happened to me.
Really?
Yeah, a while ago I accidentally saw the book, but I want to know from you, what was your experience? What happened with the Course in Miracles? Because I seem to hear a lot of stories with that coming into somebody's life just at the right time.
Yes, yes. It's an interesting story how the Course came into my life. I think it's an interesting story. I like it. So the way that it worked, you have to go back to my father, who was my hero as a little girl. My dad was everything to me. And growing up, he just seemed to have the answer and know everything. And he was always a bit of a spiritual seeker. And so he would read to me from some different spiritual books and sometimes the Bible. And he gave me that platform and that basis to grow from. And he was a Greyhound bus driver, and he was driving bus and had to spend a night in a hotel somewhere, I think up in northern Wisconsin. And he said that he would tell the story how he came awake in the middle of the night and sat up, and he knew the answer to everything. You know, all of a sudden he just understood the way the whole universe worked, and the answer, it was so simple. He kept saying, as he told the story, he said, it was so simple, I thought I should write this down, but then I thought, no, it's so simple, I can't possibly forget it. And so he went back to sleep, and in the morning he woke up, and he couldn't remember it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he started to search everywhere, and from that point on, and I think I would have been about 12 years old or so, and totally grew up remembering my dad going to bookstores, always in search, looking for a book to give him the answers, the answer that he had had that night but had lost. He searched the Bible. He joined Bible study groups. He went to different churches. He did went on a pilgrimage and tried to find the answer, and he couldn't find it. Did this for years and years until I grew up, got married, had children. My youngest daughter goes with her grandfather and her cousin who's her same age, my sister's daughter, go with their grandfather to the mall, and he goes into the bookstore again in search of his book, and he's in there going through. Of course, we all knew, everybody knew in the family what my dad was up to, and my daughter and her cousin were sitting on the floor wrestling around and playing when all of a sudden a book just fell off of the shelf from above them, landed in their lap, and they picked it up and they thumbed through it, and they would have been about, I think about 9 or 10 years old, and they thumbed through the book, and one of them turned to the other one and said, I think this is the book that Grandpa's been looking for. And the other one agreed, and so they jumped up and they ran, and they took the book to Grandpa, and they said, we think this is your book, Grandpa. We think this is the book you're supposed to have. And he picked it up, and he did the same thing. He looked at it and looked at the back of it and opened it up at random, and he looked at them, and he said, I think you're right. And he started studying the Course in Miracles, and he studied it every morning for the rest of his life until he got Alzheimer's now, and he can't. He gave a book to each one of his children, and he gave one to me. And I was the only one who embraced it and started studying it. And I now facilitate and teach A Course in Miracles. And it just, when I awakened to my experiences, and I did not know what, my foundation, my life fell out from underneath me, and my whole life fell apart. And the Course, it gave me something to stand on. It gave me something to hang on to. And it answered my questions when no one else could answer my questions of what is happening to me. What does this mean? Does this mean there is no God? Does this mean I'm a victim? All the questions that you have when you feel like you have been, just had your life ripped away from you and that you have no control and you feel very helpless. It gave me back my life. It answered the questions for me. It made sense of it.
And it definitely leaves you with a feeling of peace.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is the best teaching. I think it is the best tool for awakening.
It's crazy because the lessons in the back of the book, mm-hmm. nothing I see means anything. When you first start to study it, you look at it and you're kind of like, okay, nothing I see means anything. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Where do I get with that one? But
I know. But it's great because he tells you in the foreword that he warns you that you don't have to believe it. Just do the lessons anyway. You don't have to believe it. Just trust in it. The results will prove to you that it's real, that it's true. And you just have to take that leap of faith at first. And I tell people who come to my class, when they come the first time, I say, I hope we see you a second time. It'll be a miracle. The third time, it will even be more of a miracle. But if you can get past the first three classes or four classes, you at least recognize that it's your ego that's fighting with you to keep you from coming to this class. Because if you pick up the Course in Miracles book and you start reading it, your ego is going to go on a campaign to stop you because it knows it's the beginning of its death. It knows it's the end of it. And so it's a struggle to get people to continue. Well, it's not a struggle for me. I just always warn them that they're going to have a struggle at first, and please persevere and make this your goal. But if they're ready, they will. If they're not, we don't see them again,
I wish somebody was teaching a Course in Miracles class around here because I would go. Even though I study it with myself, I really appreciate and enjoy being in the energy of other people that study.
Nothing on Meetup? There's nothing on Meetup or through the Unity churches? There should be some group.
There probably is.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
Charles McFadden and Nella, his wife Nella, teach that at their home.
The Course in Miracles?
Yes, they do.
Well, we'll have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Frank, do you know what? We have 6 minutes left, Frank. And
well, I wanted to ask Sherry.
Yeah.
Sherry,
okay,
I wanted to ask you, is there one or two really profound experiences that you had with the visitors or with your level of awareness that are not contained in the book that you could share?
Yeah.
Whatever comes to mind.
I guess they're not in the book. Yeah, I've talked about these a little bit. Some of the things that I've happened since the book came out, I've been interacting with the Draconians, and my partner, he wanted to have an encounter with Da, and I write about some of this stuff on my blog because there's been actually several things that have happened. There was a beautiful experience I had when we went out to call in Da or call in any of the ETs who wanted to respond, and we've done that twice. And
yes.
Each time we got a response. And it was one time it was just a very, some of the stuff is so sacred that you don't want to even talk about the details of it.
Yes.
But I think one of the things that I cling to a lot, and I did a lot when I was going through the experience of the poisons in my body and I'm still dealing with, is Da's words when I had that draconian, and I've had them here several times, but I had one here in the middle of the night, and I got out of bed and I looked at him and I just felt so much love for him.
Yes.
And it was such a profound experience. And in the morning I was upset with myself for having been so vulnerable and just stood there, you know, and then gone back to bed while he was still standing right outside my bedroom patio door. And I was admonishing myself and walking around in circles going, "Sherry, you idiot, you idiot." And I heard Dodd's voice, you know, he surprised me. And he said, why are you so upset or something like that? And I said, well, because I was stupid, you know, there was a draconian here, a low frequency being. And I just, you know, I left myself vulnerable and I could have been harmed. And he said, you would judge this? And I said, well, they're low frequency beings, aren't they? And he said, Sherry, you would judge this? Again, and I said, well, aren't they dangerous? Aren't they? Can't he hurt me? And he said, stand in the truth of who you are, and they can't
hurt
you.
That's right.
And
you already had
so
your armor shining bright.
Yeah, yeah. So I remember that, you know, even as I go through the challenges these days, you know, where there's a lot of fear out there, and a lot of people are warning me to stay away from the Dracos, and a lot of people want to, you know, are thinking that the poison came from that source, but I know in my heart that that's not true. And so I trust, you know, learning, keeping the trust is a challenge at times, but you can't, as the Course in Miracles tells us, you can't trust just a little, or you can't choose where to put your trust. It's either all or nothing, because if you only trust part, then don't bother saying you trust at all, because you don't.
Right.
You know what's really interesting, though? When you
mm-hmm.
say that you stood there and you felt such love for him,
yeah.
instead of reacting through fear, you didn't.
I did.
It wasn't even a choice. It was something you just naturally reacted, which just shows me that, I don't know, to me, human beings, I just think that we're, I mean, in our natural state, if we're not conditioned otherwise, we're loving beings. That's
Absolutely.
What we do. That's who
Absolutely.
We are. And maybe that's yeah. just what he needed at that moment.
Well, what I get is that we entered into a contract that night, yes, and that we have been working with a faction of the Dracos who are using this time of alignment to ascend and to go from service to self to service to others, and that we agreed to assist them in that process. And so I did feel nothing but love, and I still do. I can't even think of them or think of what they look like without just being overwhelmed with this love for them. They're just like little children who kind of have been naughty for a while, and now they're like, oh, I just want to, you know.
They deserve graduation too, Sherry. They deserve graduation too.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, but who of us have not been naughty? I cannot say that. I have not been naughty. I have been naughty. I admit it.
Exactly. Exactly. We've all been. We've all played that part. We've all played the bad guy at some point.
Yeah.
That's why we can identify with it, you know. So we're all one. I mean, we're either all one or you can't exclude anyone from that. So, yeah, so it's just part of the game, you know, and it's part of the awakening. And to have that experience was, I found it to be a worthwhile experience, very moving. And so I'm in appreciation of the experience.
Thank you for sharing it.
Yes, thank you very much for sharing that. And as the crow flies, we actually have about 40 seconds left. So I want to thank you very, very much for being on the show. And thank you as well, Frank Chile, for being here and being my co-host. It was
so
much
fun.
It's
an honor and a
privilege. It's always,
Lori.
You know, and we're going to have such a great time when you when you Skype into the group in August. I really can't wait for that because we have many members that are going to be walking up to the mic in order to ask you questions. I already know that.
Yeah. I love those groups. I love doing those Skype sessions with the different the different groups that are meeting around the country, whether they're MUFON groups or esoteric groups, spiritual groups, whatever. Those are my favorite thing to do.
And you're more than ready.
Some good conversations going. Yeah, I am more than ready.
More than ready. Well, I think that we're more than ready as well. But so for now, we are going to have to say adieu until August. But it was totally a pleasure and an honor to be on with both of you. And thank you for sharing and informing us. You know, you shed a lot of light on a lot of stuff.
I hope so. I try to learn myself each time I open my mouth, and hope I didn't talk too fast.
You collapsed a lot of time to cover the ground that you did cover, Sherry.
Thank you, Frank. It was great talking with both of you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the gift of this evening.
Once again, this is Expanding Realities. I am your host, Laurie Carty. Frank Chile is my co-host this evening, and we are on with Honorable Sherry Wild, contactee, sharing her experiences. So we're going to do this again soon, though, guys.
Sounds good.
All right. Have a great night.
You too.
Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.